Well, welcome back to this episode of Tales of the Resistance. This is a podcast all about antimicrobial resistance and its impact on our daily lives. I'm Mara Zelt. I am the project manager with the I Am Responsible Project and one of the regular hosts of the podcast, along with the lovely Amber Patterson.
Hi, I'm Amber Patterson. I'm the Multimedia's graphics designer for the Schmidt Lab and the I Am Responsible team, and I'm happy to be here.
And as always, happy to have you. And in today, returning again to the guest chair is the marvelous Noelle Atieno-More. Welcome back again, Noelle.
Hello, I'm Noelle Atieno-More, a recent graduate of the University of Nebraska and Lincoln. With a degree in environmental engineering and also a part of the I Am Responsible team.
So we're continuing with our discussion once more on the book Quarantine Life from Cholera to COVID-19 by Dr. Kari Nixon. We'll be reading or we'll be discussing our overall thoughts on the sort of the conclusion and the overall thoughts on the book. And that will wrap up the series. Sad. It's been a great learning experience, I think, for all of us. And hope very soon, though we have not scheduled it yet, to get Dr. Nixon on the podcast. So there is a conclusion to the overall book that Dr. Nixon wrote, where she's kind of trying to summarize the lessons that we've learned applied to COVID-19. And she says, and how to reverse course, she's talking about it in the sense of COVID-19, but how we can improve how we address infectious diseases in the future, which is highly applicable. She suggests that there are three things that we need: community, creativity, and communication. So we'll probably go through all three of those, but thoughts on the book as a whole.
So what's interesting, and I don't know if you're going to be able to use this for the podcast, but I'm just sharing with you guys that I think I'm finally getting, takes me a little while, the whole idea about the anti-chapter and I'm realizing that to some degree, I kind of have to accept that what will happen will happen. Not to say that I'm giving up, but like, for me, this is like a real breakthrough moment because it's new to me. It's not something I'm just kind of sitting with that, thinking about it right now.
Yeah, I like that you shared, because I'm also like, the anti-chapter is one that I've discussed from all the chapters in this book. I've kind of discussed that with my friends. And I think I was sharing with them that we are all afraid of death, right? But I did share the other time that I've accepted death, but the more I think of it, the more I'm like, no, I am still afraid of it. And so that balance between fear and acceptance is one thin thread that I don't know if I'll ever come to it. And it's the same that goes with how you're talking about AMR. I know it naturally exists, and I also know human activities increase it. So I do understand where you're coming from, Amber, and I'm glad that you shared.
I agree that a lot of these lessons from this book are coming back, you know, 6 months from now, I'll have some more thoughts on it. You know, it's one that has to sit with you a little bit. We have to be in this weird place where we're like trying to motivate a whole bunch of people to take action that is going to reduce their risk of antimicrobial resistance. So in that context, are we being like, oh yeah, let's all fight against the inevitability of disease? I don't think so. What we want to do is not to get to a place where antimicrobial resistance will kill 10 million people a year, you know, but antimicrobial resistance will always be with us. So we're trying to avert the catastrophe, but knowing that disease will probably get us all in the end. I mean,
well, thank you for that.
I don't know if that was helpful.
No, it was.
But I do think I agree with you both that the lesson, this is a lot, there's a lot to sit with, you know, and I don't want to get ahead on the conclusion. So I want to spend a little bit of time on what Dr. Nixon proposed as the sort of three tools that we need in our toolbox, summary lessons from the whole book, and how we're going to address future issues with infectious disease. First one was community. This one, I mean, we've said this and she said this over and over in the book, the relationship that disease forces community, but community also spreads disease. There's the relationship between the two, but ultimately that we absolutely need to overcome our fears, our biases towards others, or we will never defeat the microbes. You know, we can't do it with sanitation and decontamination. We have to do it with collaboration. Do you guys have any other thoughts on that?
I have a lame comment, and that is, if viruses can come together to cause such a havoc, why can't we all as humans come together to at least help prevent the spread of the havoc the viruses are trying to cause?
And then she talks about creativity, and this is sort of related. So we come together, and then we need to be able to think outside the box, you know, is the other, another thing that we're going to need to have. Looking, you know, these are lessons like the Listen to Women chapter, looking for solutions in unexpected places. This is applying knowledge that is a little bit outside of seeking out solutions from new people and implementing them more readily. It's kind of what I got out of the creativity section. How about you guys?
Yeah, I, you know, I think we rely so heavily on scientists to come up with all of the solutions. And I like the point she made that it's going to take many disciplines to work together to really come up with the solution.
Yeah. And that's reiterating some of the other values said in the book, the, you know, we come together as community and we're not putting up walls. And then as part of that shift in mindset, you're valuing other people's inputs, and that can have, you know, such valuable repercussions for your community's survival, you know, because you're seeking out solutions in new places because you value them more. They kind of link together. Then the last one is communication. And part of this is, you know, listening to people. So it's a little bit related again, that everyone can have part of the solution.
I think it just made me think again about our own professional responsibility in science communication. So, you know, the whole book, and you mentioned this, Mara, really makes me think like how important science communication is, and it just really reframes for me what my job is. So I found that really valuable.
So she closes out the chapter with a discussion of the Lady of Shalott, which, shout out to all my 1990s or maybe it was 1980s Anne of Green Gables watchers. That was where I was first introduced to this poem. So it's bringing it all back. But anyway, the Lady of Shalott and a discussion of this poem and how she leaves her castle, her safety, where she could see the world reflected through a mirror alone. And she goes out of her tower, and ultimately she dies, you know, but she's sort of accepted that, as she's tired. She says, I'm half sick of shadows, as the reason that she decides to leave, you know, because she doesn't want to live anymore in this partial life, and that to live life more fully is more important than to live a long time. I guess it kind of comes back to a lot of the discussions that we had about some in the ante chapter about the acceptance of death and disease. And also, I think earlier on, there was a section discussion of what does it really mean to live? You know, to live is not biological only. It incorporates the life of the soul and the mind and the, you know, an experience is part of that. So if you cut off all of those things, you're not really living. And to preserve only your body is to have already died, in a sense. Well, and then she ends the whole book with this discussion about comfort zones, seeking out opinions that are not yours. You know, we're applying those lessons. We're building new communities. We're communicating. We're seeking creative solutions in getting out of our comfort zone and talking to people who we may not agree with. In finding new experiences.
Yeah, that's part of what I marked down on when reading this, like when she says our deepest moments of learning do not occur where we are comfortable. However, deep, meaningful moments of learning and growth cause discomfort. Yeah, which is one thing that as I grow, I tend to struggle with. Like, does that really matter? Should I really go for that because it makes me uncomfortable? But the more you practice living with the discomfort, the more you get further towards what you want to achieve. And acceptance, as I said earlier, Mara, acceptance, before you get to that level of acceptance, you have to go through a lot of discomfort. And so that is also part of the growth. As she says that your communication seeks to understand, but not always to persuade. And in that way, you're trying to have like an open, engaged communication. But I remember in the earlier lessons, she had put this quite succinctly, like about listening with empathy and not trying to dissuade someone's point of view, but rather learning about where they are coming from.
Yeah, I'm always really moved by that, you know, that we need to move through the world with more empathy towards others. And I, you know, I do, you know, in terms of the coming back to the ante chapter again, I have at different points in my life, not so much thought about how long I want to live, but what I would want to leave behind me in terms of, you know, what would you want people to think of you at the end? And I've always thought that, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to be empathetic? You know, that was the number one thing that people could say about you, because then you would know that you had given more or less a positive, you know, I'm much more like, if as long as everyone I had an interaction with could, you know, say it was positive, that would be a wonderful, I mean, I can't think of a better, it's impossible to achieve, but what I can't think of a better sort of statement or summary of one's life. But then, you know, and I'm reading this book and I'm like, yes, sister, more empathy is needed. 100%. I agree. And then, gosh, it's hard to apply, you know, like, and not be angry or upset and hold it in and keep listening and, you know, keep exploring that conversation when everything that they're saying is just so antithetical to what you believe. And especially if it's somebody that you care for, you know, you're just like, how can you think that way? So it is very difficult to live with empathy at all times. But certainly, I think a worthy goal. So in all things, not just in disease, the lessons are probably applicable. Community, creativity, communication, gotta do them all.
I mean, I don't know that this is useful, but I just want to say I'm really glad I read it. It's not something that I would have necessarily picked up on my own, and I learned a lot. So it definitely opened my eyes to a lot of different concepts concerning disease and society.
I also learned a lot in terms of the diseases in the Victorian era, and I like Dr. Nixon's sense of wit and humor when she was writing. Although I had a hard time reading the anti-chapter, I still enjoyed how she put in the infectious disease together with social issues. So not only is she trying to give ways in which we can encounter infectious diseases now and in the future, but also how we can say, reduce prejudice, xenophobia, and just try to come together as a community. So she kind of touched bases upon a lot of things, even including mental health, although the book is about infectious diseases in the Victorian era and how that relates to COVID-19. So I had a very good time reading this book.
My biggest takeaways are in terms of actually on science communication. I think this was a great lesson in terms of her use of stories to describe phenomena, the context that she adds to all of these scientific discussions, you know, the parallels in our social structures or in our families and communities, and we see application of scientific principle and scientific knowledge, and we also see in the section and the subsequent discussion on the linkages between the two things, science and community. And I think all of that stuff was like super, it gave me a lot to think about in terms of my own scientific communication work. So that brings us to the end of this great, wonderful book, Quarantine Life from Cholera to COVID-19 by Dr. Kari Nixon. For any of you who have listened to all of these episodes and haven't yet bought the book or read the book, apologies for the spoilers, but you should definitely go out and at least check it out from your local library if you can find it, because I think we didn't, like we've all said today, I think there's more to explore. It'll stick with you, so worth the read. And with that, we'll go ahead and close out the podcast for today, and look forward to talking with y'all again soon. Thanks, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe I should have said this in our death episode. It suddenly dawned on me that I will never be cool. You know, you kind of geeky, nerdy kid, right? And yeah. You always are thinking at some point you're gonna be cool again. This is maybe oversharing. But then I realized, okay, now I'm old enough to have kids in high school. I will officially never be cool. I am mom's people's age.